Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever desired to be bold like some of the people you read about in the Bible? Have you ever desired to be bold like some of those you look up to today? Have you desired to be bold, but you really do not know what that means or how you should do it? Well, my guest today is here to share with you some insights in those areas. Rachel Billups is a visionary, leader, and author. She currently serves as pastor and lead communicator of Ginghamsburg Church in Ohio. Say that six times real fast. She partners with family and young adult ministries to dream and deploy discipleship opportunities for making young disciples of Jesus Christ. Rachel is an ordained elder within the United Methodist Church and holds a bachelor's degree in Bible and religion and history from Anderson University and a master of divinity degree from Duke Divinity School. Rachel is also the author of the book, Be Bold, Finding Your Fears. She and her husband, John, have four children, Adeline, Christopher, David, and Sarah. Help me welcome to the program, Rachel Billups. Rachel, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to join us today.
Thank you, Bob. I'm honored.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Did I say Ginghamsburg correctly?
You did. I'm really proud of you. It's not easy. Yeah.
Hey, where are you located at in Ohio?
You know, we are in this little burg called Tip City, Ohio. It's a town of about approximately 10,000 people. And frankly, Ginghamsburg is a miracle. With a name like that, it's just amazing how thousands of people gather in our churches. We're one church, three locations. Mm. And so it's just amazing what God's been able to do in and through our church in little Tip City, Ohio.
Amen.
So.
Amen.
Yeah.
I grew up in a town in Marysville, Michigan. At the time, it was like 5,000 people. And nobody ever heard of it, but it had that small town atmosphere. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I want to get into your book, Be Bold and Find Your Fears, to get some of the backstory. But first, I always start with this question. Other than the brief bio I just read, tell us in your own words, who is Rachel Billups?
Who is Rachel Billups? You know, what's so interesting, I grew up, if Tip City is a small town, I kind of grew up in the middle of nowhere. I'm from this place in Ohio called the Hocking Hills, and I grew up outside of a booming metropolis of 700 people, 10 miles outside of town. So I grew up in the middle of the country on a family farm. My dad was a factory worker, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom until she worked at a gas station / supermarket / post office. And so my folk weren't necessarily, they were God-loving folk, but they weren't pastors by any means. And so, as I was growing up, it was this little country church that we had like 50 people on a great Sunday that really poured into my life and discipled me well. I don't know if they knew what to do. They just knew they loved Jesus, and they saw the call of God in my life, and they just continually encouraged me. And I grew up, I had one time a pastor that said, you know, Rachel, you grew up in kind of a thin slice of life. Now, I grew up in what I would call a piece of heaven. I loved my growing up years, but I didn't exactly have these major pictures around me to know how to take those next steps of faith or even know what to do with my life. Frankly, sometimes as a woman in ministry, I had folks tell me, you can't be in ministry, but then I would have the Holy Spirit would say, no, this is what I created you to do. And so through a lot of trial and error and also just prompting of the Holy Spirit and saying yes to Jesus over and over again, I found myself being through other followers of Jesus, but also through doors that God would just open. Yeah. I found myself living a life that no one would ever dream that I would ever live. And now I am the lead pastor of a church of thousands. Amen. And who would have ever thought, who would have ever thought that this little girl would ever, this farm girl from the middle of nowhere would be used so mightily by God. And I got to be honest, Bob, I praise God and I'm so thankful for the many men and women who were faithful to Jesus. And that's why I'm here talking to you today. So,
amen. Praise God.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing a little bit about your background. But what kind of things did you have to work through
coming
from a small town? Not just become a pastor, but also become a wife and mother of four children.
I know. So, you know, it's interesting. I married my high school sweetheart at the ripe old age of 20. And where I come from, you have babies. It's just what you do. And so, I never had this thought that I wouldn't have a family and not be in ministry at the same time. You know, some folks look at me and they say, "Oh, Pastor, how do you do all that?" Well, let me say this. My husband is an exceptional man of God. He is my biggest cheerleader. We are partnered together in ministry. If anybody's out there and thinking about getting married and all that kind of stuff, you need to know that your spouse is a champion of, it's not a me ministry, it's a we ministry. Mm-hmm. And when I take a call, when I go to that next journey with Jesus, I know it's not just my call, it's our call. Yeah. And so to say that my husband is just an exceptional husband is an understatement. He sees the call of God on my life even more clearly than I do. Yeah. And frankly, I could not do what I'm doing without his partnership. Now, the other thing that's amazing about my husband is he has his own identity. He is a football coach and he's a physical education teacher. Frankly, he teaches second through sixth graders. He is a rock star. You know, he goes to school and everybody is like, "It's the gym teacher," you know, like, and so he's an extroverted, warm, compassionate human being that is making his own mark in the ministry that God's placed before him. Yeah. And so I think that even helps all the more. I also believe some of the things that I've just had to overcome is I believe Satan uses, we have tapes in our minds, what I call limitation prophecies. Sometimes people speak them over us. Sometimes we speak them over ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we say things to ourselves like, "I could never do that." Or someone tells us, like, "You're not meant to do that. You don't have the right gender, or you didn't come from the right place, or you, like, stay in your lane." I even remember people telling me when I was getting ready to go to college, 3.5 hours away from home, people saying, "Oh, you know, you're just going to come back. Why are you even going? Like, you'll be homesick in three weeks, you know? Wow. You'll be back here." And I think they really meant well because they knew how beautiful of a community that we grew up in and how hard it was to leave. But what they didn't realize is they were speaking limitation over me. And, you know, I knew the call on my life so strongly that I was determined to be obedient to Jesus and not to listen to those limitations. Yeah. And frankly, Bob, that's a daily thing. You know, like fear, those moments of limitation can make us very fearful. And I always say fear has a regular return policy, right? It's not just one, it's not just one fear and you're over it, but you have to kind of get over fear. And, you know, I could say that as I was growing up, I began to realize just how fearful of a person I was. I remember being a teenager and learning how to drive and having to go to like a big city like Columbus and navigate the city. And I was just terrified. Yeah. Like I didn't want to do it. It almost felt like, "Oh Lord Jesus, this feels like oppression. I can't do this. You know, like, I can't do what you're asking me to do." And even in the simplest of things, like driving in a new city, I just was so full of fear. And God began to reveal that to me. That like, "Rachel, you're living out of a spirit of fear." You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind." And I had to hold on to the word and say, "Okay, God, even in the littlest of things, I cannot live out of this spirit of fear, but of rather of your power, of your love, and you've given me a sound mind. So let me do this." Right. And so, I began to use the word and began to just tune into the voice of God in my life overcome.
That was my next question. How did the Bible help you to become bold?
Oh, yes. You know, and it's interesting, you know, even as a kid, as a teenager, as I read the stories in the Bible, as I read about the Deborahs and the Davids, as I read about Ezra and Elijah, you know, as I read through all of these, what I would call almost Bible superheroes, I recognized two things. I recognized that they did some incredible things because God had chosen them to do some incredible things. But I also recognized that they were terribly human, terribly fearful, they had some hangups. And I kind of really loved that because it made me recognize that although they were chosen by God, that God chose really ordinary people to do some extraordinary things. And the difference between people who were used by God and the people who weren't were those people who trusted even though they had limitations, even in their reluctancy. I mean, how many Moses gave God 5 really good excuses as to why he couldn't be God's deliverer, you know? Like,
right.
And I find myself over and over and over again saying, "But God, no, but God, I can't speak well." But God, I'm not so-and-so. But God, you know, and I so relate to those Bible characters and those stories of real-life men and women who God chose anyway. And really, God walked alongside of those folks even in the midst of their excuses. I actually think we do ourselves a disservice, and maybe even to our children, when we polish up those stories and we want to make it like Moses' highlight reel or Jonah's highlight reel. Mm-hmm. But the reality is there's some mess in there that we need to see and we need to recognize because we can so often relate to it. Yeah. And that's why I say in my book, you know, like God doesn't want you to like filter out the good, the bad, and the in between, but really to use all your life to fuel your fears. Like even that really hard stuff, even that really bad stuff can really help you lead you into the life that God's calling you to live.
Amen. Give me some examples from the Bible that you have in your book about people who had to be bold and what you took from that.
I would say one of my favorite examples, I start with the story of David. You know, it was very clear that David's entire family had him categorized as, you know, the litter. You know, when Samuel, the prophet Samuel, comes to anoint the next king and he comes to the house of Jesse, Jesse brings all of his sons that he thinks are worthy of anointing, and David's not even there. He's not even been invited to the party, right?
That's right.
He is out in the field, and even Samuel in his own right, is still grieving the loss of King Saul's anointing.
Yep. Yep.
You know, he's looking at these sons, looking for a king like Saul. And that's just not David. But David is so, so secure in who he is, so in tune with the Holy Spirit, so in tune with who God has created him to be, that he is going to, you know, he is going to be his very best shepherd. He is going to believe in the mighty power of God over and over and over again in his life. Even we don't get a sense in that story that when finally Samuel anoints David as king, he says, "Do you got any more?" Right? He goes through all of the big and strong ones, and he says, "Do you got any more?" You almost hear this like sigh, like, "Oh yeah, I got this other kid that's out in the field, but who is this kid?" Right?
Yeah.
He still receives the anointing. He still believes in God's anointing on his life, so much so that later, when we find, you know, the famous story of David and Goliath, David goes and he goes and is visiting his brother, bringing the supplies, you know, the runt brother bringing the supplies to make sure his big brothers are okay. And Eliab looks at David and says, when David's like, "What about this Philistine giant? What's the deal here? What's the reward?" And Eliab is so annoyed with his younger brother. He says, "Are you just really here for a show? Get out of here, younger brother." You know, you know. And David is like, "No, I'm not here for a show. I actually believe in the power of the God of Israel. I believe in the power of our God to defeat this giant and to prove it to you, I'm going to do it. And he doesn't do it because he has a huge ego. He does that because he is so in tune that our God is on the throne. You know, our God is full of power. Our God is going to be our defender. And I'm just amazed by this young guy who trusts God in the face of such adversity, and not just the adversity of Goliath. That's what we see right in front of our faces, but really his own family and everyone around him saying, get out of here. Mm-hmm. You can't do this. There's no way that God's chosen you. We face that every single day. The naysayers, and some of them are our own family members, our own friends. And yet, when we're so in tune with the calling that God has on our lives, when we're so in tune with what God is asking us to do, and when we have trust in God, we can step forward in a mighty way. And God breaks all those barriers down, and we're able to step into the fierce that God's planted in our hearts. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh. Yeah.
When you first realized that you had to become bold and fierce in your own life, what were a few of the first steps that you had to take in order to do so?
You know, I think one of the things that I had to do when I first started realizing, even whether it was my childhood or my teen years or young adulthood, like I said, fear has a regular return policy. One of the first things that I had to do is I had to overcome fear. Mm-hmm. Fear really had a grip on my life and on my heart. And I recognized over and over and again, I was afraid to do all kinds of things. You know, when I first felt a call into ministry, I didn't know what I was going to do. Number one, I didn't necessarily have a lot of pictures of women in ministry in my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was Joyce Meyer, you know, on TV, but outside of that, it was slim pickings, you know? and so I had no idea, how do I do this and where do I go and all of those kinds of things. And, didn't know exactly what God was calling me into. As a young person, I was just really, enamored with missions and just had a very missional heart. And I saw women in, as missionaries. That was kind of like the track that seemed as natural for women in ministry. And so I began dreaming of really strange things. Like I thought at one point I was really good in science. And so I thought I was going to like teach chemistry at a college in India or something like that. You know, like that's a really strange kind of, but I really did believe that. I love physics and all that kind of stuff. And so I was like, maybe that's it, God. And I remember in freshman French class, I was in French, and we had to give a speech in French, and I couldn't imagine getting in front of the class. In fact, every time I tried to get up to give the speech, I was in tears. And so the teacher actually let me not give the speech in front of the class because I had such social anxiety about speaking in front of people. But rather, it was just her and I one-on-one, and I was able to give that speech. Mm. I'm very thankful for Miss Egbert and her willingness to let me do that because I was able to get a decent grade, and I loved getting good grades, so that was really good. But it made me realize, I mean, at that point, I said, God, I'm willing to do anything you want me to do, but I know you're not calling me to be a preacher pastor. And but what stinks is when you say that, because I was terrified of that. That was the worst thing that I could ever imagine doing. But when you put like boundaries out like that for the Lord, sometimes the Lord just breaks down your boundaries. And before I knew it, I had youth groups asking me to come. They heard of the kind of faith that I had as a kid. Mm-hmm. And they would ask me to come and preach to their churches. And I was like, Lord, no, you know, I can't do this. And so I don't know how many no's I said.
Moses
until
comes
God
back
was shaking
again.
Me. Yeah, exactly. How many excuses I gave God until God was finally, are you going to be obedient or not? You know?
Yeah.
And so, even to this day, you know, God will put opportunities before me. And God will say to me, and I'll get my first reaction is fear, like, oh God, I could never do that. And the Lord says to me, Rachel, you're not a little kid anymore. You know the drill. Are you going to be obedient or are you going to let fear overcome you? And every time when I step out in faith, the Holy Spirit takes over and God shows up, and God is faithful every single time. Amen. And I think that's true of us all. Like, we can either operate out of this fear, or we can, that fierce, another name for fierce is the Holy Spirit. That fierce from within is not our own fierce, but really the fierce of God that is really working in us and through us. And so we got to trust mm-hmm. that God's going to show up every single time.
Amen. I know when you talked about, you know, when God said, you know, are you going to be obedient or not? That's kind of like the same when he called me into the ministry in 1995. I fought it for almost 4 months, you know, and it's funny, you know, quick story on that. When my calling was Ezekiel chapter 2 and chapter 3, when he spoke to me on the Bible, I guess all the blood drained out of my face because my wife and I were out on the porch doing our Bible study. She looked at me and said, "What's wrong?" And I was like, I must have read that wrong. Nothing, you know, type thing. But it said the same thing when I read it again, you know. It's funny, the Bible doesn't change like that. But so the next Sunday, I made an appointment to go in and talk to the pastor. So I went back the following week, and I told him, I think God's calling me into the ministry. And I'm thinking he's going to be so happy, and he's going to pat me on the back, give me some stuff to read and pray with me. He said, "You think so?" I goes, "Yeah, I think so." And he got and I praise him for this, even to this day. He got up, put his hand on my shoulders, he walked past and said, "Let me know when you know," and left. I'm like, that is not what I came here for, you know. But now I realize that's a personal decision that you have to work through your own. Nobody else can guide you on that. And I fought it for 4 months. And late November, early part of December, I was reading the book of Jonah. And as I got through with Jonah, I could, like you said, are you going to be obedient or not? The Spirit of the Lord came upon me and said, "What do I have to do to you to get you to do what I want?" Like, wow. Say, okay, I'll do it. And so the following Sunday after church, I went up to the pastor. I said, "God called me to enter the ministry." He goes, "Are you sure?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm sure." He goes, "All right, great." Mm-hmm. And the church we were part of was part of a larger regional group of churches, Baptist churches. And they met once a month. They rotated where the meetings were going to be at on a Friday evening. And they had, like, tag team preaching, you know, where each pastor would get up for, 10 minutes, give a short sermonette type thing. And he said, "Our church is holding the meeting this coming Friday, and you're going to be the speaker for our church." I'm like, "Whoa, wait a minute now." I got to stand from 100 different pastors. And I'll never forget this, because there's like 8 steps from the platform, and I decided to preach on Peter walking on the water. And as I got to the part, you know, where Peter stepped out of the boat by faith, and as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, everything was fine. And when he took his eyes off Jesus, I started walking down the steps to symbolize sinking beneath the waves. So he took his eyes off Jesus, and as I said that, I missed a step, and I tumbled all the way to the bottom. And I jumped back up and I said, "And that's what happens when you take your eyes off Jesus." And the whole place just erupted, right? And there was an 87-year-old senior pastor. He's the one over the little group. Afterwards, he pulled me aside. He says, "That was the best recovery I've ever seen." And I've been going strong ever since.
I love it.
But, let me ask you this now. You had those negative thoughts that were, you know, and we know not just coming from within, but also the devil, you know, putting these thoughts into your mind as well. What thoughts did you have to overcome? You know, you hit a couple of them, but what thoughts were actually trying to stop you? You know, you mentioned you can't do this and all that. What thoughts did you have to overcome as you began to walk out your calling into the ministry? Yeah.
Well, I think mine are really, I mean, a ton of thoughts. You know, there was always the thought, like, I grew up in a pretty, like, fundamentalist kind of place. And I always loved my brothers and sisters, no matter what denomination you find yourself in.
Yep.
But I did have a lot of folks saying to me, like, "Are you sure you're called to ministry? I mean, you're a woman, you know, you're a girl." And the Bible says a few things about that. And so I even had this thought, like, if I live out my call, will I go to hell? I'm serious. Wow. And so there was this thought like, oh my gosh, like, is this really what God wants me to do? But God kept opening the word to me and saying to me like, Rachel, what about Mary Magdalene? She's the first person to proclaim the good news of the gospel my resurrection. Amen. Like, what about Deborah? And just, you know, showing me places in scripture that just really reassured me that I was on God's path.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's interview with Rachel Billups. She is giving us some awesome insight into what it means not just to be bold. A lot of people can be bold. Sometimes that's good and sometimes that's not. But how to be fierce. Now, some people have different connotations of what being fierce means. And for a lot of people, that means being scary. That's not what she is telling us to do here. If you've gotten anything from part one of this interview, because we're going to continue this interview with her tomorrow in part two. But if you're getting anything out of this, is basically being willing to take a stand for what you believe in, the God-given rights that you have as a Christian believer, and then taking that stand, believing in yourself, and being bold against the devil and against things that are oppressing you. Be bold in what you know is the right thing to do. It's awesome. Rachel is more than qualified, but with all she's gone through, to be explaining this to us, and I hope you come back tomorrow because we're really just getting started. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.